The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Delighted to say I'm joined now by Darren Mooney, author, critic and all-round expert in film and TV, diving into the current state of the industry and chatting about the ongoing tug of war between fresh, original stories and the ever-growing reliance on familiar franchises. Good morning, Darren. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. How's life?
So anyway, you kind of break down on TV in about 10 to 12 minutes. Good luck with that, eh?
Yeah, the entire medium, which it's okay, Tom. Everything is fine. It's perfectly healthy. Nothing is burning.
It's just another one of those things that has changed out of recognition in our lifetime.
Absolutely. Not even just within our lifetime, within the past 10, 15 years. It's impossible to imagine. Like, Netflix only really began doing streaming original shows back in like 2013. That was when House of Cards launched and everything changed. And everything has been kind of flowing from that.
I can remember when they were doing that, it was like they were just testing the waters. You were thinking, my God, new stuff. Or Netflix is trying to do original content now.
Yeah.
This'll end horribly.
I am old enough to remember when that was just a DVD rental store. I feel like we might have to explain what DVD renting is now to any of our listeners.
I have to say, I would put Netflix under one of those shares that got away. Yeah. There was a moment when you saw it when you thought, I should put money in there.
Oh, yeah.
Like Apple, I think, when it's...
when it's starting out, when you get into the garage, that's the level you mean.
So what do you think of it at the moment? Is it a glory age at the moment? Or you know, is it gone beyond that?
I mean, again, everything's ups and downs. It's very easy to catastrophize about the state of every industry ever. Yeah. I do think that things are bad if you look at the businesses. So if you look at... We're talking about television. Let's start with linear television. The big news during the week, the cancellation of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert at CBS, which was just a massive blow. A show that had been on the air in one form or another for this stage 30 years and just cancelled next May.
We have a little clip of that. It's startling stuff.
Before we start the show, I want to let you know something that I found out just last night. Next year will be our last season. The network will be ending The Late Show in May. I'm not being replaced. This is all just going away. And I do want to say that the folks at CBS have been great partners. And I've had the pleasure and the responsibility of sharing what we do every day with you in front of this camera for the last 10 years. And let me tell you, it is a fantastic job. Y'all ready?
We're going to lock in.
It's startling. It really is. What do you think yourself is going on? They're saying it's money.
Yeah, it is complicated. There is a general argument that linear TV is in decline. And if you look across the board at the late night television shows, there have been various cutbacks and scale backs. I think Fallon went from doing 5 nights a week to doing 4 nights a week, running reruns on Friday. Seth Meyers last year had to cut his house band for cost purposes. James Corden ended his show back in 2023. Again, another CBS institution, The Late Late Show, the show that was on after The Colbert. That had been running again for, I think, 25 years at that point. So there is a sense, broadly speaking, that the industry is changing. That said, the Colbert news is particularly interesting for several reasons. First of all, it was actually increasing its audience. It was the rare late night show that was increasing its audience. And it also exists in the broader context of, you know, I know, as you joked earlier, you are obligated to reference Donald Trump at least once an hour or he will turn to dust. But in the context of the CBS merger or acquisition, the Paramount acquisition that's happening with Skydance at the moment, where we mentioned already, very litigious individual, Mr. Trump, embarked on what would broadly be described as a series of nuisance lawsuits, according to entertainment lawyers such as Matt Maloney, former editor of The Hollywood Reporter, former entertainment lawyer, where he basically seems to be extorting these media companies in return for compliance of his FTC, his Federal Trade Commission, to allow them to merge and acquire, to get bigger and to get smaller. You have to kind of bow the head. You have to acknowledge or kind of bow down. There was the nuisance lawsuit over the 60 Minutes interview, which he claimed was edited of Kamala Harris. It was edited because all interviews are edited, of course. But he claimed that it was a malicious edit, a misleading edit. And CBS settled out of court. I believe that involved... it has been disclosed a $16 million donation to his presidential library. But there's also been some implication, in part from Trump himself, that there have been other concessions made at the network. And it does seem a bit of a coincidence that right before the merger is due to go through, CBS announced the cancellation of one of the most prominent Trump critics on television. In fact, I believe the Tuesday before the cancellation was announced, he was talking about the merger and the settlement and the concessions that CBS had made. So it is a very interesting context.
But they aren't taking him off straight away.
No.
So they're going to leave him in the situation where he will do nothing else but attack Trump from now till the day he's taken off, surely.
Yes. But on the other hand, Trump doesn't really have to worry about that for, you know, until like 2028. It's like he can compare that. I mean, he's all over Truth Social, like trumpeting his victory. Yeah. I think for Trump, it's, you know, from his point of view, he gets to see a defeated adversary every night trotting towards his death march. I think there is something of the public humiliation that he enjoys.
You're making that very Roman sounding mess.
Yeah, not to put too much of a political commentary on it.
Well, I have to say, he's an adversary, though. I think he'll write some cracking satire between now and the final date.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, again, the option is he's one of the few late night shows who doesn't yet have a podcast. So the option is right there for it.
Right. That was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, the changing face of how we're consuming media. And it seems all TV or things have an accompanying podcast these days. That is changing things too, isn't it?
It is. There is a question of like trying to find the audience where they are. And we were talking specifically about like late night television. I would argue one of the issues of late night television is that the audience actually watching linear television, sitting down, turning the TV on, is getting progressively older, which makes it less appealing to advertisers, which means there's less money there. When younger people are consuming that media, think about how they're consuming it. They're consuming it in snippets on YouTube. Think of like the greatest success story of like American late night television is Lip Sync Battle, which launched on Jimmy Fallon, and Carpool Karaoke, which launched on James Corden. But those were their own segments that ended up going viral, not the interviews. And the question is, if you are a major corporation, how do you monetize this stuff? How do you monetize YouTube clips? Because the advertising revenue from YouTube is nothing compared to what you get getting paid directly by advertisers. And the same issue with podcasts as well. It's a very difficult market to monetize. You have Spotify trying to get in there, trying to grow. They're launching video podcasts at the moment. I know they've been making outreach into the Irish market, but there is this question of like, is this a sustainable market? Can this replace what we've already kind of, what we have and what we lost?
Right. I get the impression podcasts are more cannibalizing radio, to be honest. That you might tune into radio shows in the past to hear a section on politics that you like. Now you're going, if I love politics, I'm just tuning into politics podcasts.
Exactly. And I mean, even this show will be available via snippets on podcasts. Absolutely. On the News Talk app. And like you'll be able to click in and select.
They'll be completely brilliant snippets, may I say. So looking to, a thing that strikes me too, when I look down through all the stories, you start seeing the word IP everywhere you go. Is that what it is all about these days?
Yes. These days, there's an incredible risk aversion, particularly at the major studios, where there is, things are costing more as a rule. Even if you look at the blockbuster budgets of like summer movies, they're costing more. If you look at the budget of television shows, they're costing more. Back in the day, in the 1990s, it was a miracle if an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation cost $1 million. Now you have Disney announcing that every episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier costs $20 million a piece, which is absolutely insane. And when you're investing that level of money, you become risk adverse. Why would you risk investing that amount of money on something that audiences don't recognize? So you do, you go back to your established intellectual properties, you build brands, and those are designed to keep people within the ecosphere. The idea is that, like, if you are a fan of, say, the Batman movie that Warner Brothers released 2 years ago starring Robert Pattinson, then you will go to HBO and you will watch The Penguin Show starring Colin Farrell. And this is interesting because you see it happening even in spaces that were traditionally prestige-oriented. HBO, for example, at the dawn of the 2000s, the golden age of television, which produced shows like The Sopranos, Deadwood, The Wire, classics of the medium that really pushed it forward. What is the recent output from HBO? Off the top of my head, biggest success this year is The Last of Us, which is a video game adaptation. True Detective Night Country, which originated as a pitch for just a detective show called Night Country. And HBO were like, can we cram Matthew McConaughey in there somehow? The Penguin, which got 24 Emmy nominations during the week. Dune Prophecy, House of the Dragon, which is a Game of Thrones spinoff. These houses are being pushed increasingly towards manufacturing IP and recycling IP, things that audiences recognize.
And is that why we're seeing Superman in cinemas every year?
What's really interesting about that, and what really bugs me about that, is that you're not only seeing Superman in cinema every year, you're now seeing movies just called Superman in cinemas every year, where audiences who went to the cinema last night had the option of going to see Superman, which is the same title of a movie from 1978, or I Know What You Did Last Summer, which is the same title of the movie from 1997. It's not just that we're making sequels, reboots, legacy sequels. We're even just recycling the brand name for SEO purposes. It's no longer, you don't go and see Superman 4 or Superman 5 anymore. I never thought I'd be nostalgic for the idea of Superman 5. Now you just go see Superman over and over and over again.
I don't know what to say. Is it just you now go to the cinema or watch TV just for a sense of familiarity, just to feel safe again?
I do. I think there is something in there in this cultural brand of nostalgia. You just had people on talking through the news. The news is not generally upbeat and not trending upbeat either, I would argue. So, shockingly, I know. Yeah. So I think that there is, in that sense, perhaps a desire for comfort.
Yeah.
Like, and the comfort of familiarity and things that you recognize. I would also argue that it is where the wealth is located. The people who are going to be subscribing to your streaming service are in the age groups of people who remember Willow, who will watch an 8-episode Lego sequel to Willow, for example, who want a Goonies sequel. Yeah. Those are the people who have the money to fork out to pay for these things.
And they want the TV series of Harry Potter as well, don't they?
Yes. And have you seen the photos from that?
Not like, yet.
No. Okay. The nightmares. But it's interesting because it used to be that when you got a new TV show, a new movie, a new IP, right? There would be some motivation on the person making that to put their own spin on it. Think of Batman, for example. In 1966, he looked like Adam West.
Yes.
In 1989, he looked like Tim Burton. In 2005, he looked like kind of Christopher Nolan. Each of those iterations of the concept, while still Batman, at least looked different from each other. You look at the photos from the set of the new Harry Potter TV show, which is on HBO, to bring it back to the former Home Prestige TV. All of those actors are being styled to look exactly like the movie. Yes, the photo of Nick Frost as Hagrid looks like a waxwork of Robbie Coltrane, which is very insulting to both of them, I would argue.
Wow. My God, there's a lot to get your head around. I only have about 30 seconds, but I'm a bit intrigued by where this leaves traditional broadcasters like BBC, who used to develop fantastic drama, and UTV to an extent as well. Are they going to just get squeezed out?
Well, again, each of those have their own unique problems. I mean, if you look at the BBC, that's a state broadcaster over in a nation that is dealing with a great deal of financial trouble. You've seen reports that they can't afford to, like, green light new TV shows. They can't afford to announce the new season of Doctor Who, one of their big prestige, like, international money-spinning shows. There's a lot of anxiety in the industry. There's not a lot of money going around. And as you say, an easy way to do that is IP. That's why you're seeing the push towards IP.
Right. Well, the best of luck with that. Darren, I can only say if I ever enter a pub quiz, I hope you're on my team. You know a lot about this stuff, Darren. That's to be said. Darren Mooney, the author, writer, and film and TV critic.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.